I don't know if you remember, a month ago, I preached out of Philippians chapter 3. I hope you hadn't forgot all of it. But I talked about the experiences of the Apostle Paul, and I spoke about his zeal for the love of himself for a while, and how that the Lord changed him. And I spoke about the apprehension that how that God had apprehended him and changed his life. And in this chapter, I want to, Brother Keith, I preached out of this on last Sunday and talked about verse 3. Okay, now I thought about your sermon on at Oklahoma City on trust. Well, I talked about the word, we have no confidence in the flesh. Now that was my thoughts last Sunday over at St. Matthew's. The word confidence and the word trust, they're synonymous. They mean exactly the same thing. They come from the same Greek word. So when you talk about confidence, you talk about trust. And as Brother Keith said there in his sermon, he said we have money in our pockets, and printed on every piece of money we have is the national motto, "In God We Trust." You know, sometimes just for the heck of it, when I'm sending off a letter, on the back side, right where the seal is, I put "In God We Trust." But they can't do anything about that, you know. When the postman looks at it, and everybody looks at that as it goes through the mail, but the point here is this. Do we really trust him? Do we have confidence in him to believe everything he says in his word is true? Everything. Do we have confidence to believe that he's going to be with us in all of our troubles and our trials? Now, I would love to be able to think that "In God We Trust" as the national motto, that this nation would really trust in God. But you know, that they say, well, we don't want that on our money. We can't pray, we can't do this stuff. They would have to tear down the Capitol and all the buildings up there to get rid of this motto, because it's all over the place. And we'd have to tear up all of our money. I said, okay, you don't want that on your money. Give it to me. I'll take it.
There you go.
I mean, I don't mind having it on my money. So, but the thing about it is the word trust. Do we have confidence in God? And I'm not going to pray. That's my sermon last Sunday, but I want to go on all the way on down now into the end of this chapter. And maybe the next time I see you on the fourth, or next time I may be able to move into the fourth chapter. I don't know. But now notice, I want to, let's see. Let's read verse, start with verse 15, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Okay? "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Okay? Now that's that parenthetical in there is going all the way. I mean, he says, "For many walk, of whom I've told you often." Well, we go back up to the very beginning, and he identifies those people, Brother Keith, as dogs, and evil workers, and the decision. Those are the people, the dogs are those that devour, widows' houses, those that, evil. In other words, the evil workers and the dogs and the scission are all speaking of the same people. These are these people who are enemies of the gospel. These people, they're enemies of the cross. Now notice Paul says, and now I tell you, even weeping. It's breaking my heart to tell you this. It's sad to say this, but these people are the enemies of the gospel. Enemies of the gospel, whose end is destruction. Now that's pretty stiff stuff. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their own shame? Who mind earthly things? For our conversation. Now I want you to think. I want to contrast here. These people who are evil workers, the dogs, and these people who are the enemies of the cross, I want to compare that or contrast that with us. Because there's two types of people in these verses. There's two classes of people. Those that love God, those that are trusting in Him, those that have no confidence in the flesh, those who are looking to Him and looking for His coming, and those who are mockers and scoffers and enemies of the gospel. And it says that their God is not the God of eternal glory. They have a different God than we do. And when we're talking about their God is their belly, we're talking about the things that they love. The things that the Apostle Paul said this about these people. He said, those things that I used to do, I now hate them. He was one of them, is what he's telling you. He was one of those who despised everything about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want for us to think about those people in comparison to these others. Okay? There are two classes of people in this world. That's it. There is two classes. Those that love God and those that hate God. You're either one or the other of those. And he says, and he talks about our conversation. Now, the word conversation here, as I've said this several different times, the word conversation here does not mean conversing back and forth and talking to each other. The word conversation here means our manner of living, our life, if you please. The word literally in this context means our citizenship. Our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking for something. How are we looking for Him? We're looking for Him through the eye of faith. We haven't seen Him. There's none of us that's seen Jesus with our natural eye, but we've seen Him because there's something inside of us that illuminates His presence in our life. Okay? Now then, when we think about this, for our conversation, our way of living, our life, our citizenship is in eternal heaven. Now, we sang, as we were singing these, I selected one of these, but I wanted to, or maybe two of them. But I want us to think about these songs we sing about heaven. We sing a lot about heaven, don't we? Let's see, where was that? How beautiful heaven must be. I want you to think about the words of this song. How do you know how beautiful heaven is? See, there's some things that there's a lot of people, they have all kinds of ideas about heaven. That one song that, what was that? Oh, here it is. My grandmother's song. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. This is what Paul is saying here. Our citizenship is over there. Our names are in the register over there. We're on those books. They're on the books over there. That's where our life is over there. We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. This earth is not our home. And that's what this song, it says, I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulations. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have aches and pains and diseases and all kinds of things in this world. Sometimes when it gets so bad, Brother Claude, when it gets so bad and you get to thinking that there has got to be something better than this, when you look over there and every thought of your life, every time you turn around, you're hurting somewhere. You're saying, oh, wouldn't it be great to just go on and be with the Lord? Now, Paul wanted that. He was persecuted on every hand. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked and all these things. And he said, all of those things that has happened to me have fallen out to the glory of God. These things have been, he said, because people see that I'm persecuted here and all these things are happening, and it gives you courage to go on. He said, look what Paul's going through. Now he says, what though the tempest rage, heaven is my home. Short is my pilgrimage, heaven is my home. You know, 70. That's, you said, well, that's long. Well, I'm already there. Joe, we're already there. We're living on borrowed time. It's not gonna be very long. I mean, how many of you are, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I know that 70, just about everybody's maybe 2 or 3. 1, 2, 3, 4 of you. I'm going to say that there's, majority of us are already got our 70. Short time. Short is our pilgrimage. Times cold and wintry blessed shall soon be overpast. I shall reach home at last. Heaven is my home. Oh, brethren and sisters, if we could just really honestly think about these points. Trusting that these are not just songs we sing and for fun. These are not things that we just think about when we don't have anything else to think about, and when the cable's out or something. These are things that our life is over there. We're just passing through here. Now we sing, I think it was 385. We read of a place that's called heaven. Where? Right here. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven, no drooping or pining. No wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing. I don't know if the angels are going to have golden harps like we have, but it talks about this up there. It'd be okay with me, wouldn't it you? Wouldn't it be okay with you? We had a chorus of angels up there playing on their harps. It'd be okay with me. The thing about it is, we don't really know everything about heaven. But we do know some things. We know some things about it. And we know, brothers and sisters, that we are looking for it. And it says we are anticipating looking for it. Now, we have, you know, a lot of times, Sister Joe, the only time we talk about this is at the funeral. My sermon to you is not going to give you 1 ounce of help while you're in that casket. I want to tell you about now, okay? I want to tell you about what I believe about God and about heaven. It's so precious. Now, when we look at this verse, he said, "Who shall change our vile body?" Now, that tells me something right there, that there's going to be something in heaven besides the spirit and the soul. When we die, we know that in 2 Corinthians it said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Just like that. The very instant that we breathe our last, our soul and spirit is in heaven. But brethren, if that's all there is in heaven and that's all there's going to be in heaven, there's no reason for Jesus to come back to this earth. You know what he's coming back for? He's coming back to get you, your body. And you say, well, what if it's this? And then people have all kinds of things in their minds about what about this and what about that? And we, if and that and if and that, you know, there's no problem with God. If our body's been blown to smithereens, if it's been burned or whatever, and it's been in the ground for 10,000 years or whatever, it's not going to be anything hard for God. He's going to raise this vile body. Did you get the word vile out of that? Vile. Look the word up. There's not a whole lot of things worse than being vile. But see, in this earth, these people that he's described up here in these previous verses, he says their end is destruction. Your end is not destruction.
No.
There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that can harm you if you be one of his.
Amen.
And I'm telling you that there is multitudes of evidence that we are his child. We need to think about those things as the world out here is burning up. I'm telling you, the world is getting worse and worse. In God we trust. Brother Keith, I'd love to think that. They don't more. What God they trusted in? What God are they trusting in? They're trusting in their own self. They're trusting in their own appetites, their own abilities. And this is the problem that these people, these dogs and these evil workers, they was coming and telling this church, trying to put it back under the bondage of the law, saying you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to do this. If you don't do that, and if you do that, then you're going to lose whatever you've got. There is so much that you've just got to do in order for you to get to heaven. And if you get there, you might find out that you didn't do good enough on earth, then you might be out. There's people, though, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's people that are teaching that very thing. Probably here in this town today. That you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And if you don't do this, and you don't do that, and if you do that, see, we're not under that old law service anymore.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. To the name of Jesus. Now I want you to, who shall change our vile body? What's it going to change it? Now I want you to get, Sister Joey didn't say he's going to exchange it. It's going to be you. It's going to be your body. It's not going to be my body. You know, there are people have all kinds of things in their minds about what it's going to be like at the resurrection. What if he was born a man on earth and he wanted to be a woman? Will he be a woman in heaven or a man in heaven? You know, that's purely about silly stuff. But you see, you're going to be what God made you to be. And God, don't make any mistakes. You don't make mistakes. Okay? So when we're talking about these things, he said, change your vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. What's his body like? What is Jesus like? You see, that's what we're going to be like. Whatever he is, that's what we're going to be. That's when he went up, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The question is, where's Jesus? Yeah. Wherever he is, that's where I'm going to be. You know, I heard somebody say here the other day, wherever Jesus is, that's going to be heaven for me. That's, you know, it's okay. Wherever Jesus is, that'll be good, won't it? When we think about what heaven's going to be like and what it's going to, and I know one thing, it's not going to be like this earth right now. The things that you see, touch, smell, taste, all these things, all the things that we love here on this earth, they're going to go up in smoke. I want you to, read 2 Peter chapter 3. It said the elements shall melt with a fervent heat.
But we're looking for something, aren't we? What are we looking for? We're looking for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness.
I want to tell you about that heaven. According to the working whereby he is able.
You know what the word able means? Are you able?
You know, so we come, this is one of the things that we talk when we're children. Can I do this? Can I do this? Mother, can I do this? And the teacher said, well, are you able? You say, may I do this? I can do this. You remember the little train? You know, he wanted to do something, but he thought he was able. Then he said, I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could. He finally made it to the top. And brothers and sisters, I want you to rest in this, that we're going to make it to the top. Your daddy.
I love that man. Wednesday night, he prayed, most beautiful of prayers.
But he said, Lord, help us to understand and remember that we win. Isn't that great? I mean, he said, we read the end of the book, Lord, and we win. We need to understand that no matter how bad this world gets, it's okay. And that's what one of the things we talked about is, what if people come along, and it may come down to this. I don't know how bad it's going to get in America, but I'm telling you, over there in the Middle East, Christians are being murdered and slaughtered by the thousands. You call yourself a Christian over there, you'd be willing to have your head cut off or burned. What does it mean to be a Christian? Huh? You know, I would hope that God would give me courage if it came down to the time. Like that, I always think about that little girl at Columbine. All you have to do is just say you don't believe in Jesus and I won't kill you. She said, I'm not going to deny that. And they killed her. I hope I would be able to say, light the torch. Whatever you're going to do to me. You see, the scripture says, don't fear them that's able to destroy your body, but fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And we're talking a little bit about hell this morning, because there's either one or two places you're going to go when this life is over. There's no in between. There's no middle ground here. There's no purgatory. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell.
Amen.
Guess what? I'm not going to hell. I don't believe I'm going to hell. Are you? But now notice, he says here, who shall change our vile body. Now, when you think about, and I want to get just a little bit about what Abraham thought. What did Abraham think? What do you think about old Abraham? You see, in Hebrews chapter, I think it's chapter 11, if I can find Hebrews. You know, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith.
By what?
Faith.
By faith. You got faith? Or did it? I mean, did you go down to the store and buy some faith? You see, people said just step out on your faith. Well, how can you step out on something if you don't have it? Faith is a fruit of the Spirit, and the only one that's got faith is those who's born to God. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. So he says, by faith, and we're in case you want to find this, it's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he was going. Did you ever go anywhere where you didn't say, where are you going? I don't know yet. And I don't know where I'm going until I get there.
Yep.
That's kind of like some people think, well, we got to pass this bill so we can find out what's in it. Anyway, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. He just walked out on faith. And that's what really faith is seeing by faith. And it says, by faith, he sojourned. I want you to get this. Sojourned into the land of promise as in a strange country. dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. What promise?
What promise?
Go back to the 13th chapter, the 12th chapter. And he says, Abraham, look up to the sky. What do you see? He said, I'll be a bunch of stars, Lord. He said, so shall thy seed be. He said, thy seed shall be as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. Now, that's not talking about his natural seed. No. There's some people that claim to be his natural child called Ishmael, and they're following a different God than we are. But when we're talking about in Isaac shall thy seed be called, we're talking about the spiritual Israel, those who worship God in the spirit and not in the flesh. We're talking about those that love God, those that are born again. Born of the Spirit, born from above. By faith, he sojourned into this place. Now, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac. I want you to think about what a tabernacle is. A tabernacle is what we're living in now. He says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, if this body, this earth, this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God eternal in the heavens. And it's not, he said, not made with hands. It's not made with hands. But when we're talking about this, dwelling in tabernacles, that's what we're here journeying in a strange land. For he looked, are you looking? He looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was looking for a city. Now, I don't know what he had in his particular mind, but brethren and sisters, he was looking for something better. You see, that's what we have today. It's so much better than what they had. And now notice it said there, in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. How did they see them? You say, God, when God took Moses up there on the mountain, he was able to look over into the promised land. He saw it. Brethren, we're not speaking here of looking and seeing something out here with these natural eyes. We can only see the most we can see is probably a couple of blocks. Not very far. But he said he looked and he saw something way over there. And he saw this city. He saw this beautiful city. And it says, he seen it afar off. We're persuaded of them. You know the word persuaded and the word trust and the word confidence. Right there together. He was persuaded of them and embraced them. You know, he says, the Lord says, lay hold on eternal life. Embrace it. Pull it to your bosom and make it your own. He said, work out your salvation while you're here in the world. That don't mean work out your eternal life. That means work out your joy and your wonderful fellowship with God while you're here. This is just this is just a little foretaste of what it's going to be. When we're the very blessed that we can be in the kingdom of God, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've had some good times here at Oxford and Perth. But brother, this is just a little bitty smidgen of what we're going to get. I mean, the very best that we can get pales in the sight of what we're going to have over there. I want you to understand this thing, that Abraham was looking for this. He was looking for it. They all died in faith. Now notice this, Brother Keith, and confessed. I want you to confess this with me and with Abraham this morning. Confess this with me, that you are a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. Our citizenship is in eternal glory. We don't belong to this world. And the sooner we go, the better it's going to be for us. You know, Randy and I did a funeral here a while back, and he read out of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It says, a good name is better than rubies, and the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. You know, that's as contrary to natural thinking as you can get. But you think about the day of one birth. What's going to happen? I mean, there's a lot of little babies born in this world. Some of them are born with all kinds of diseases, and some of them are born of parents that hate them and abuse them and do all the things. You know what a blessing it is, Brother Keith, to be raised in a family that loves God, and like your mother and daddy and my mother and daddy. But there's a lot of little babies that just that they have no comfort at all in this world. It's better when they die than when they're born. You may not recognize that, but it's absolute truth of God's word. Now that this says, there are strangers on this earth. For they that say such things, have you confessed it this morning that you're a stranger and a pilgrim? If you have, he said, for they that say such things declare plainly that they're seeking a country. Oh, I'm looking for it. Aren't you looking for it this morning? Seeking a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, if they'd been, they were looking for the promised land and Canaan's land. If that's true, they could have gone, they might have been able to go back to that. If they were talking about that country from which they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. What's better? Better than what? Better than this promises over here in Canaan land. Better than the church. It's better over there than it is here. And that's the theme of the word in the book of Hebrews. Everything's better. Everything's better. And the apostle Paul said, I have a desire to go and be with the Lord, which is far better. Far better. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. A city. A city. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is not a figment of somebody's imagination. Jesus didn't go to somewhere up there in the cyberspace somewhere. He's living in a real place. And he's sitting on a real throne. A real throne. And he's there in a real human body. We need to grab a hold of these things, brothers and sisters. These are things, Brother Keith, that when they're persecuting us, and I don't know how bad it's going to get, but I think it's going to get a lot worse. We've not seen the worst yet. I'm not trying to scare you, just trying to inform you that there's going to be some times that are going to get a lot worse before it gets better. But you know, we don't need to be walking in fear. We have nothing to be afraid of. Death is a friend to us sometimes. And I'm not advocating that we, I like living. My wife and I was talking about it the other day. She said, don't worry about it, honey. You're going to go before me. I said, uh-uh. Uh-uh. Yes, sir. We had our wheel down. We was going through all that stuff. You know how we are, you know. I said, what are you going to do about this? He said, don't worry about that. I'm going to be gone before you have to worry about that. I said, no, we're going to just go up together. Wouldn't that be great, brother? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able, and I'm telling you, Sister Joe, if we're here on this earth, when Jesus comes back again, we're going to just go up. We're going to go up just like Elijah and like Enoch. We're just going to be translated, go right on up. But you know, if we die, it don't matter. We're still going to be with the Lord. You see? Because, and now I want to read to you about this city. I don't have time to get into the great white throne judgment. Do you know there's some stuff that people deny? Do you know people deny this? Oh, they're not talking about a real place. I mean, if heaven's real, what about hell? Is it real too? Ask that rich man if he thought it was real. Over there in Luke chapter 17, I think, or 15. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. Now, there's going to be a separation. And don't worry about that. Because by the time they have that separation, we're all going to be there already. You see. Don't worry about that. But there's going to be, and I'm not going to go all these places, but Revelation chapter 20, Matthew chapter 25, okay? 1 Thessalonians, I do want to read 1 Thessalonians. Because 1 Thessalonians, no, it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. If I can find it, I got the markers in here if I could just find which one I want. but anyway, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now notice, he said, listen to me, this is beautiful words. He said, to you who are troubled, rest with us. Those who are in this world, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Did you get that part? That he's coming back? What's he coming back for? To get you. To get your bodies. But he said, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among them was believed in that day. What day? When the Lord comes. Now, there's going to be a separation. Now you can deny it, you can if it, and you can all this stuff if you want, but it's not going to change the facts. That there's some that are not going to, you know, there are people that believe that hell's the grave. They believe, well, they don't want to believe in an eternal punishment, conscious existence in hell. So they just believe that when a person goes there, it's just, they just kind of burn a little while and then burn up. That's called annihilation. Or they believe that the grave, you know, just hell is just separation from God, you know, and they just go to the grave and they just stay there in the grave, and that's hell. Well, let me tell you, there's a little bit more to it than that. He said in Revelation 20 and Matthew 25. Now, these brothers and sisters, Brother Keith, these are things that will get you a question at your ordination. Do you believe in the eternal punishment of the wicked? I'm not going to ask you, do you believe in hell? You say, well, sure, I believe in hell. Well, do you believe in a conscious existence of the non-elect after this life is over? Now, if you say no, I'm going to say this ordination is over. Because I'm telling you, that's a fundamental principle of what we believe. You cannot deny the truth when it's in. Jesus said this, and he said, marvel not that I say unto you, they shall all, they shall all hear my voice, but all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. This is a general resurrection, a resurrection where everybody that's in the grave is going to come out. When? When Jesus says, come forth. When? When he says so. I don't know when, and nobody else does. Nobody knows the day or the hour when Jesus is coming, but I'm telling you one thing. It's just as sure as we're sitting here today. It's real. It's real. Now then, Revelation chapter 20. Now then, I'm going to leave this for your own reading, 11 through 14, but notice this part, verse 15. Now, this is important. Whosoever, people like whosoever, don't they? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is that bad? Is that something that scares you? You know, that's the way the world out here, they want to scare ye. If you don't do this, and I've actually seen some of them had this great big, they'd like to have this big old burning furnace here. And just a blowing, burning furnace. And he said, if you don't repent, if you don't do this and you don't do that and you don't accept Christ and all this, you're going to be thrown in that pit one of these days. You're going to burn and burn and burn and burn. Boy, I'm telling you, if I really convince me of that, I'm going to do about anything they want me to do.
Absolutely.
But this place that we're going to is something that God prepared for you. When did He prepare this? When did He prepare the place for? Before the foundation of the world, He said, "I've come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And to those on the left hand, He said, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." Now you can smooth it over whatever you like, but it's not going to get any better for the non-elect. But let me tell you something, brother. You know, sometimes it's good for us to understand what we were saved from.
Amen.
You were saved from an eternal punishment. You deserve an eternal punishment. You deserve to be separated from God forever. But because of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and for all that He did for us, He took us out of the, He literally took us out of the flame, if you please. You say, I heard somebody say, well, you were never in danger of going to hell. Well, from an eternal covenant standpoint, you're right. But if Jesus hadn't come and fulfilled the covenant, you dang sure better believe that's where you're going to end up. Is that bad? Well, it's the truth, whether you like it or not. Now, notice what John saw. Now, he said, if your name was not written in the book of life before the foundation of the world, and people say, well, if that's the case, then we better get our name in the book, hadn't we? And people would come along and say, if you die today, do you know where you'd go? Oh, Brother Cummins said one time, he said, come on in, tell me. He said, do you know if you died, is your name in the book of life? He said, I don't know. You've got the book, let's open it up and we'll take a peek at it. You don't know. You don't know. But brother, we have evidence. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. And brothers and sisters, it's not going to make any difference. And people, there was a conversation here a while back on one of these discussion places, Brother Keith, that said, is it okay for the children of God to pray for the regeneration of their children? You know, I would like to be able to understand and to know that my children are an elect of God. But all the praying in the world that you do, you can pray for them till the cows come home, and it's not going to change the eternal covenant. Now that there are people that this is what separates us from all these people out here. We believe that Jesus died for every single one that was given to Him in the covenant. And our names were written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. Was your name in there? Well, if it's in there, and some people say, well, you know, it's in there. I got it in there, but you know, I got up to heaven and they opened the book and it was gone. I did some bad things and God erased my name. Pitiful, pitiful, pitiful. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, people doing that today. You don't believe me? Go out and check me out. Erase my name. I'm telling you, if you had to do something to get your name in it, Brother John, you got to do something to keep your name in it. But guess what? You didn't do anything to get your name in it, therefore you can't do anything to get your name out. Isn't that great? Now then, I'm closing. I come down to the end, and I got to quit. But listen, it's what John saw. What did he see? I want to tell you, Sister Joy, I believe you've seen what Abraham saw about faith. I believe that he saw, he saw perhaps what Paul saw. He said, I knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of body, I know not. He said, such one is caught up to the third heaven, which saw things which is unlawful to others. Well, I'm telling you, if I was going to try to describe the most glorious thing that human eyes could ever have, I might probably use some of the language that John saw. This is good stuff. Now notice what he said. I, John, saw the holy city. Now what was Abraham looking for? Looking for a city. New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared for the bride, for her husband. Now people get hung up on that verse. And I heard a voice. Now people say, well, that's church. That's just talking about the church. Well, let me ask you a few questions as we go through this. If that's the church, is there any trouble in the church? Is there any sadness in the church? Is there any trouble? And I want to tell you something, Brother Keith. When we go to eternal heaven, it's not like going back to the Garden of Eden. And it's not like, and I'm sorry, we sang some songs in here. Going to eternal heaven is not like going to Canaan's land. Because there was battles to fight over in Canaan's land, and Moses didn't get to go in, and there's some, and there, any, all the ones that came out of Egypt, over 20 years old, died in the wilderness, and, if that's Canaan, if that's heaven, doesn't give me much comfort. And we're not going to be like the Garden of Eden, where we can go over there and be subject to dying and cast out again. Now, this is the city. So dismiss that part in your mind that this is talking about something on this earth. It's not. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God. That's where we live. The tabernacle of God is with men, and I will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. There shall be no more sorrowing. There shall be no more crying. There shall be no more pain. And there shall be all of these things will be passed away. Now, brother, if you can't get excited about that, I cannot understand. I cannot believe. I cannot even fathom the fact that one of these days I'm going to be without any kind of sorrow. Any kind of pain. You know what I can't really get my mind around, Brother Keith, is being without sin. Without sin. Now, oh man. All right. Joe, you're laughing at me. All right, let's skip some. All right. Now, he describes in this city all the things that he saw in his mind about how it was built and all these different things. He said, well, that can't be heaven. Well, it is too. You can have it whichever way you want it, but I'm going to take it as eternal glory. I used to get hung up on these verses. But you know, it's okay. You don't have to agree with me. Until you get me something else, I'm going to keep this. I saw no temple there. In this world, you know, we're here in the church of God, and sometimes it's so glorious. But when we're through here today, in about another 2-3 minutes, we're going to leave and go out. Yeah.
Where are you at when you set the temples?
I'm in Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. All right, now then, we're still talking. Now notice, Brother Keith, I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now they had a temple over there in Jerusalem, and it was a glorious temple. But it is absolutely just nothing compared to this one. And it says, and the city, Abraham's city, had no need of a son. It had no need of a sun, S-U-N, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. In this world, in this church, in different places, what Jesus said, this, or John said this, if you say you love your brother, you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're walking in darkness. And he said, in one place, you are darkness. I'm telling you, there is no darkness over here. Where it's all light. And there's no gates. They're going to close the gates. When we go here, we're going to lock this door and leave. But there's no gates. There's no locks on the doors over there. There's no gates. And we close it up and we try to make it secure as we can. Guess what? There's not going to be a night over there. It's going to be one eternal day. Ah, eternal days. The nations of them which are, read it for me, which are saved. The nations of them which are saved. And he said, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, I have a people. All these nations that are saved. All of them that are saved. There ain't going to be no unsaved people over there. isn't that marvelous? He said, they that are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at day all day, for there is no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of all the nations, and there shall in no wise enter. Now listen, this ought to give us joy. There shall in no wise enter into it that which defileth. There's going to be no liars, no murderers, no whoremongers. None of these people. There's none of those people. They might have been that while they were here. I don't know. But they're not going to be that when we get there. And it said, into there's not going to be anything that defileth, what neither which worketh an abomination or maketh a lie. Who's going to be there then? They which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can tell you exactly who's going to be in heaven. Every single one of them whose name is written in the Book of Life is going to be in heaven. Now, amen. But those, if your name is not written in the Book of Life, I've got some, and by the way, you don't care. You don't care if I tell you you're going to hell. You know, I can't scare you. Because you don't have anything to even believe in hell. Now people don't believe in, how can you believe in heaven if you don't believe in hell? And how can you believe in hell if you don't believe in heaven? You see, those are real places. And that's what I want you to understand today, that it's real places. We're going to a real place. And it's a city. It's a glorious city. It's a wonderful place. And I copied down a little poem. Can I just read that for closing?
Sure.
Okay. Listen. This is about the city. Brother Keith, if you have one of those the Sacred Harp.
Yes.
Look at number 101 in your Sacred Harp. Okay? Now this is the words of this beautiful hymn. There is a holy city, a happy world above, beyond the starry regions built by the God of love. An everlasting temple and saints arrayed in white. They serve their great Redeemer. They dwell with Him in light. It is no world of trouble. The God of peace is there. He wipes away their sorrows. He banishes their cares. Their joys are still increasing. The songs are ever new. They praise the Eternal Father, the Son, and the Spirit too. The meanest child of glory. I'm talking about those that was here on earth. The meanest one, Paul thought it was him. The meanest one that was here on earth. The meanest one child of glory outshines the radiant sun. But who can speak the splendor of that eternal throne, where Jesus sits exalted in God-like majesty? The elders fall before Him, and the angels bow the knee. Is this the man of sorrows who stood at Pilate's bar, condemned by haughty Herod and by his men of war? Same one. Who spoiled the powers below and ransomed many captives from everlasting woe. Awesome. Isn't that awesome?
Awesome.
I love it. And that's one of those old songs that that people sing. We're trapped. We're in a time warp. We're in these bodies. You know, but rest with it. Be at peace with this. Brothers and sisters, this message will when you get down into Sister Joe, when you get over there, you're going to be in some pain if you have that surgery. I tell you that, John. Think about this. Think about this. I love to preach the gospel. This is a great message. And I'm telling you, this will preach, brother, when the world's on fire. He's coming. And He's going to take us all home. Be through with all the sickness and the sadness and the sorrow. And we sang that song. Oh, what a day.
What a day.
Let's stand and sing some familiar hymn. I appreciate your wonderful attention. Let's just sing that 370 again.